He wanted to preach on something about Father's Day. I was thinking about several things. Well, one thing in particular, something about power of praise, power pursuing the praise of our Heavenly Father. I don't know. One thing I really miss since my dad passed away was, you know, his words of affirmation. That was a real powerful thing. And now without him, it's pretty hard. You know, you want to do something to please your dad and don't hear anything. But then I was thinking about how, you know, we need to look forward to the day one day we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. And looking by faith, doing things that will get those words of affirmation someday. And it's pretty biblical too. I mean, even God the Father on two occasions said, "This is my well-beloved Son, whom I am well pleased," didn't he? So it's something very powerful that we as dads have, and think we should, while we have an opportunity to be with our kids, give them those words of affirmation. I couldn't make that message work. Probably Pastor Derek figured it all out, and that's what he's going to preach on. So I decided to preach on something else. Let's go to Habakkuk 3:2. Something I really need help with. I need a revival in my life. So if you're going to look at me and say I'm a hypocrite, you're right. I need this probably more than anyone here in the service today. And I don't know, I'm just going through a lot of rough times, and I just need to be revived. Let's read here, Habakkuk 3:2. Sorry. It says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy." I think we all, especially me, get into a rut of what we do for God. We lose our initiative. We lose our creativity. We lose our zeal. And you think if Christianity was a job, most of us would get fired sometime in our life, wouldn't we? We all lose. Like it says, let's go look at it in Revelations 2. We all can lose our first love that we had when we first became Christians. It's like the church here in Ephesus. At least I know I can lose my first love. It says, unto the angel, Revelations 2:1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and know thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne, and hast patience, and for thy name's sake hast labored. Hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." I forgot to pray again, so let's pray. Ask the Lord help with this message. Holy Father, I don't have anything good in me. I feel really bad right now. And I ask that you would please, your spirit would work in my life and revive me in the midst of my years and help me to get the love that I used to have for you and to get back on the track you'd have me to be on. As he sings in Jesus' name, amen. So if our life was like a car, and doing the right thing was like making that car go on the road, go in the middle of the road, before we got saved, it was a hard thing to push. I was going to get a little tight car in here. Keep everyone's interest. You can just imagine with me. So we get this car, and we're born in this world, we're life, and people tell us we need to do good, we need to do what's right. And so, and they tell us we need to push that car. And so we're here pushing this car, trying to do what's right, and we're trying to keep it on the road. If anyone's ever pushed a car, you push really hard, and then you go move the steering wheel a little bit, and you push some more, and you move the steering wheel a little bit, and then you try to, you know, it goes the wrong way, and you overcorrect, and it's really hard to do, pushing a car. And that's how it was before we got saved. We're trying to do what's right, and it was just all we could do to do what was right. But then someday, someone gave us a little key, and the key was the gospel. And they said, hey, you need this little key to start the car. You guys ever heard the Pollock joke about the chainsaw? You guys won't ever hear it anymore about the Pollock. There's no more Pollock jokes in the world. This is a shame. You guys know what a Pollock is? Someone who lives in Poland. I hope no one's here from Poland. You're from Poland, brother? Oh my goodness, this is terrible. You heard the Pollock joke with the chainsaw? You love it? Okay. So there's this guy, this Pollock. And he heard all about this new saw that he could cut 5 cords of firewood in one day. And so he thought, man, I need one of those saws. So he goes over there, he buys this saw, and he takes it out in the woods, and he brings it back the next day. You told me this saw can cut 5 cords of firewood. I can barely cut a couple of pieces of firewood all day. And the guy at the store grabs a chainsaw, turns it on, goes rum, rum, and the chainsaw starts all by itself, just real fast. And the Pollock says, what's that noise? He was out there with his chainsaw, trying to use it like the old-fashioned kind of saws. He never turned it on. And that's how it is. Before we get saved, we are trying to do what's right, and we're pushing this car, and someone gives us a key and shows us where to put that key, and we receive the gospel, and the Holy Spirit comes into us, and boom, we have power. Boy, howdy, the engine turns on, we have power steering, we have headlights, we can see where we're going, we have brakes, and we have, best of all, a gas pedal. And we are driving on our life, just driving around, going on the King's Road, on our way to heaven, and this is easy. This is so much better. We have power now. We can go where we're supposed to go, and it's easy to do what's right. But then a couple of years go by, and we kind of forget about it. We kind of forget about how it first was at the beginning, and we stop putting gas in that tank. Day goes by, we don't read our Bible. A couple services go by, we don't come to church. But here's where the devil does something really tricky. We stop putting gas in our tank, and our engine starts to slow down. Guess what happens? The devil's really smart. He puts us in front of a straight road with a little grade going downhill, and we don't notice anything going wrong. We're in that car, and we don't feel any loss of power. We're still going. We see where we want to go. The devil puts something up in front of us on that straight road, like, yeah. I don't need a turn. I don't need a brake. I see what I want, and I'm off to get it. when me and Daniel were driving to Guatemala, we would we had those cars and the bus. It was really heavy. And what we would do is like in the mountains, going down the mountains, going into Utah. The bus was really slow. I mean, really slow. And in order to go faster on downhill, if you put it in neutral, and so it's not spinning the engine, the wheels aren't spinning the engine, you could go really fast. So we go up to the top of the hill. And once we got to the top of the hill, we would floor it for all it's worth. And then when it maxed out, we'd drop it in neutral. And the bus would just go down the hill really fast. We got up to 90 once. It was really good in the daytime. Then come nighttime, you couldn't tell if there was a curve at the bottom or not. Yeah. So, and that's what the devil does. He, when we turn off the, our engine starts stalling out because we're not putting gas in our engine. We start quenching the Holy Spirit. He puts a nice smooth path in front of us and puts a little restaurant up in the distance and says, "Oh flesh, that's what you want. Just head straight for that." And now that's how it was with Lot. You know Lot in the Bible? He, as soon as he left Abraham, things didn't go bad for him. Oh, things were going good. He was starting to be prosperous. He started to be mayor of Sodom. He started, things were looking up for him for a while until he lost everything. Same thing with the prodigal son. He left mom and dad and went off in the city to live his own life. Things looked up for a while. The devil made a nice, easy path for him. And off he went until he realized he couldn't stop. Let's look here in Titus 1:19. Titus 1:19. Titus 1:19. Titus 1:19. Doesn't have 19. What am I missing here? My verse says, made shipwreck. Made shipwreck. First Timothy 1:19, I'm sorry. First Timothy 1:19. First Timothy 1:19 says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck." And we think we can control our flesh. We think we can go try a little bit of sin without cracking up our life. And we're pretty sure that, you know, we're not going to go crash into sin like those, like that other person. We can control our desire a little bit. We got this under control. But what happens? We go try to push on the brakes, and there's no power there. Without our flesh is just like a bunch of dead weight when we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit giving us the power we need to stop. So how do we get the engine started at the beginning? Are you guys paying attention, kids? How do we get the engine started in the beginning?
We get the key from the gospel.
We receive Jesus. He was paying attention. And our life started going. Let's look in Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. So we got the engine going by believing, by trusting. It says Galatians 3:1. Says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you,
Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh?
So we began in the Spirit, we began by believing, but then we start trusting in ourselves again, don't we? We start trying to figure it out our way. We start trying to think of the things that we want to go get and what our flesh wants, and we see the way to get it because the devil made it all so easy for us to go get it, and we start trusting in ourselves again. Is that how the verse goes in Proverbs? I just know how that verse goes in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord all thine heart. Let's look at it because there's a verse there that we stop it at verse 6. Let's look at it. Proverbs 3:5. I want to look at 3:7. Proverbs 3:5. We all trust him for salvation. Probably everyone here is trusting Jesus for his salvation. I hope so. But that's the only place we start. We still trust Jesus. We trust ourselves for everything else. 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with some of thine heart." Is that what it says?
No.
No, it says all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, to be revived is to start trusting again with how much of our heart? All of our heart. To be revived is doing things that make sense to us or doing things that don't make sense. What does it mean? Lean not unto thine own understanding. I think we should go this way because that looks about right. I'm leaning into William. I'm leaning into him. I'm trusting in William. Is that what we're supposed to do? No, we're supposed to lean in not on our own understanding. So to be revived is to not do the things that make sense to us, but to do the things that God says make sense to him. To be revived is to acknowledge him in how many things? What does it say in verse 7? Verse 6? All their things acknowledge him. I was listening to a pastor this week. I think it was this week, and he was talking about how he had like a veranda, I think, in his house, and he didn't have any like a balcony up there. He didn't have a veranda. He wanted to put something up there just to make it look nice. And he was thinking about wood and other things, and finally decided to do something cast irony. And he just, you know, thinking about how much that'd be. And then he just looked on Craigslist for a, some cast iron railing or fencing material. And lo and behold, pop something up from a city. I think it's like 2 hours away or something in Texas. And he called, and it was the exact measurements he needed. He's like, wow, this is just pretty amazing. Too bad it's so far away. And so he called up the guy, and he's like, hey, would you like to meet halfway or something? You know, it's kind of far drive for me, but that's really what I want. It's just perfect. And the guy says, hey, actually, I'm going to go, I think it's Dallas or something this weekend, so if you want, I'll just drop it by at your house. And the pastor's like, oh, well, that would be perfect. And so he comes by that weekend and gets out of his pickup truck, the guy all by himself, and he and the pastor, as soon as he got out of pickup, realized, you know, this isn't about the fence. This isn't about the railing. This is about something else. And he told the guy, he said, you know, this isn't about the fence. I know I'm a pastor. Lord's speaking to me. There's something, you know, you need or I need or something that this is about. And the guy says, well, if you want, you can pray for me, my marriage. He said, I just ran over my 13-month-old baby, and I really need help. And he was a new believer, brand new believer, and the pastor was able to be an encouragement to him. And, you know, you know, the pastor was saying, you know, it's never about the fence. You know, all of our lives are, it's not about the fence. It's not about the things that we see. It's not about things that, we're to acknowledge him in all things, in all of our ways, everything that, we do. There's a bigger purpose than just, you know, getting some nails or going doing an errand or something. In all our ways, we acknowledge him to get revival. And then it says in verse 7, get revival. To be revived is to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Because when we replace our dependence on the Spirit, stop leaning on the Spirit, stop putting gas in our tank, and we start in our flesh, start trusting in our flesh again. See, everything goes good at the beginning, but then it all goes back. Let's look in Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13. When I was a kid, my dad and my sisters were traveling somewhere in the mountains around Seattle, or I can't really remember. I remember it was snowy. And my dad turned off the car. We were out of gas, completely out of gas. Just was on fumes. And it was icy. And we were going down a hill, so he thought, well, I'll just turn off the engine to save on gas. But as soon as he turned it off and we were coasting down the hill, a really sharp curve came up, and he went to go turn. His steering wheel had locked up because he didn't turn the key back on. He turned it all the way off and it locked. And so he, you know, went to yank it, and of course it had locked. And he had no brakes, well, very little brakes, you know. And I remember we were just skidding towards this mountain cliff, just rock. And I remember my sisters crying out, Lord, save us, help us. And my dad was fast enough to get his key back on, and we almost hit it, but we didn't. And that's what happened. Let's look here in Romans 8, was it 13 I said? For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, of the body, ye shall live. So when we start trusting ourselves, try to make our plans work out, going down that smooth hill that the devil made it look like we're living the right way, we're successful, we look like we're pretty well off. We do still go to church and stuff, and you know, we're not atheists or anything like that. We still believe. It brings death. Either probably bring some spiritual death in our descendants. Those around us won't be getting saved, and it brings death. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. 2 Corinthians 4:16. And revival is something that we need all the time. It's not something that we get and we filled up our tank and we're good to go for the rest of our life. No, it's a continual reviving that we need. It says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's a daily need of a revival that we need. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen,
but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, a lot of times we're just always looking at the fence. We're always looking at the temporal part of things, but it's never about that. It's about the things that are not seen. It's not about the living a routine that makes sense, but living by faith and obedience that will keep our motor on. Let's look in Philippians 4:16. Says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now these weren't once upon a time Christians. Sent once upon a time. They sent something for my necessity. A lot of once upon a time Christians. I used to go to such and such church. Oh yeah, I used to read my Bible. I read the Bible once. Those are once upon a time Christians. We don't need to be once upon a time Christians. We need to be once and again Christians. You need to go back and find out what happened to get revived again. Let's look in 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I never noticed this in a application of this story. 2 Kings 6. You guys know the story of when the axe head started swimming in the river? Ever heard about that? Floating, the swimming axe head? I'm not going to take credit for applying this. It is a little bit of a stretch, but if you preach it real hard with a lot of, you might pull it off. It's one of those ones. But it was kind of cool. It was a different guy I heard say this. And it might have something there. In 2 Kings 6:1, it says, here's the story of the floating axe head. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell in is too straight for us. It's too small. We want a bigger house. We're all living here and bunking with all these smelly teenagers and studying the Bible. And we need a bigger place. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. So they're going to go build a bigger bunkhouse. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And they, you know, Elisha, we want you to come with us, you know. Going to have a good time out there cutting beams. And he said, okay, I'll go with you. And verse 4, so he went with him, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. So they're chopping some wood down. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. You know he's a pastor now, he's always borrowing tools. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put it out of his hand and took it. You know, Elisha had to tell him to pick it up because I'm sure the teenager was alive. Pick it up. But I heard this pastor say it this way. You know, we need to go back to where we lost the axe head with the axe handle. What did it say in Spanish? Axe handle. And we need to go back to where we lost it and figure out, and instead of where we lost the axe head, go back and look at the cross. See, you got Elisha there, Elijah, and he threw the stick. Yeah, the stick represents the cross, you know. If it wasn't me, you could probably. I could, someone else could pull it off besides me, anyways, what I'm saying. Anyways, you look back at the cross, or where you took your eyes off the cross, because that's what usually happens. We fill our life with other things, stop filling it with the cross, and we need to go back to where we lost and fill our life with the cross. Put our eyes back on the cross. And I was working in the Tri-Cities. I think I was Twitter-pated. I was always making mistakes. And I was, saving up to get married. And I just kept making mistake after mistake. And I went to go fill up one of the... They had two Dodges. One was diesel and one was gas. And they looked identical. They were both white and everything. And so I went to go fill it up with fuel. And I was convinced it was diesel. And I go to the Pacific Pride and punch in my code and everything. And I grab that diesel thing and try to go stick it in the hole. Well, it wouldn't go. But, you know me. I made it go in there. Got that thing. What a bunch of idiots, making it the wrong size. That should have been my clue, but it wasn't. And I fill that thing up with diesel. Good thing I didn't do it the other way around, Start it up, and I do remember I was starting to question myself. And I do remember thinking, looked under there, the hood, like, yeah, that's a diesel engine if I ever seen one. I don't know what I was looking at, but no carburetor there. And drive away, get onto the highway, when you know what it started to do, just like that, it's full of water or something. Oh, that was humiliating. Well, what had happened? I filled up the tank with something else. I lost my power. And that's what happens. Why we lose revival. We start filling our lives up with things that aren't going to give us power. Things that don't fuel the Spirit. Let's look here in 2 Corinthians. We're going to finish here. 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16.2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So when we start getting the things out, the idols out of our lives, that would fill our lives up, go back to the cross, and start filling our lives up with the cross, getting our eyes on the was actually important, we get power again to be revived. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help me to keep my eyes on you, keep my eyes on the cross, my eyes on what's important and not on the physical things, to trust in you with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, to keep idols out of my life, that I may be revived, and everyone else, Lord, who be struggling with these things as well. I pray that you would revive us all, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.